Wrestling Radio. VGLosers.com. You press your luck up against his body. Now you're stuck, but you lie down and dirty. You don't care where you're going. Anywhere is better than I'm going. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better than. Anywhere is better than here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dirt, your host for Wrestling Radio. And as always, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Today we're going to be taking a look at Friday Night SmackDown, and really, all in all, not a really bad show. There was some stinky finishes on it and this and that, but, you know, for the most part, it was all right. So, nothing major that I think is going to swerve you one way or another, but probably, if anything, if you're a fan of Jericho or The Undertaker, you're going to want to see that main event. That main event, to be fair, it's a pretty good main event, although the last couple minutes just, well, we'll get to that. All right, they opened up with CM Punk coming out, and they showed a recap of what happened last week with Armstrong, him telling Armstrong to count faster. R-Truth getting the roll up, and so Armstrong counted as fast as he could, 1, 2, 3, to screw over Punk. So Punk got on the mic, and he, of course, he ran down the crowd. He said, all the English people are sad and pathetic. They all go to pubs. They chew tobacco. They need someone like him to show them how to live. He's perfect in every way. You know, one thing about CM Punk is that he started out as straight edge, as you know, straight edge offers him this better chance at life or whatever it was. And for the most part, people are like, yeah, okay, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then now as he's turned heel, you know, it's gone from being straight edge to being the Messiah. I don't know if he's going to, you know, come out now and, you know, start having gospel music playing or, you know, everything else will go, all the screens will turn white and have all the spotlights turn white and shine directly on him when he comes to the ring. That might be a good way to kind of spin it and move it forward. I don't know, but his promos keep getting more and more like that, it seems. Anyway, he said he filed a formal complaint with the board of directors, and he said Scott Armstrong was going to have to, you know, face the music of what he had done. And tonight he's going to beat R-Truth, and R-Truth's question of what's up will now be answered with straight edge. So there you go. Yeah. R-Truth came out, did his regular rapping entrance, and he said, you know, he too is going to file a complaint against Punk for impersonating a man. Harsh words, huh? Truth said he didn't come out to make Punk look bad. Punk has already done that himself. And he said he's out there to shut Punk up. He said the crowd did not pay for preaching. They paid for some action. So we get CM Punk versus R-Truth, and they did not have Scott Armstrong as the referee. So anyone wondering if he was going to be out there tonight again, sadly he was not. The match itself was pretty good. Basically, R-Truth was beating over Punk pretty good at the beginning, but then Punk tosses him to the outside and pretty much stays on him, does a lot of submissions. One thing that really came off pretty good during this match was Punk goes for a springboard from the outside in to hit R-Truth, and R-Truth actually jumps up and hits him with a drop kick off of the springboard. That was pretty neat. I enjoyed that little bit there. Let's see. R-Truth missed an axe kick. Punk grabbed him up for the GTS. R-Truth tries to reverse it into a sunset flip, but instead Punk drops him down, sits on his shoulders, grabs the middle rope, and the referee counts the three. So I don't know if there's supposed to be a conspiracy here with another ref, or if the ref just, you know, missed it because he's a heel. They didn't really They didn't really play into that as if the referee, like this was another crooked ref on CM Punk's payroll or, you know, whatever the deal is. But, you never know with WWE where they're going to go next week. So, Layla, they showed backstage running into Mickie James, telling her to, she needs to leave SmackDown. There's no reason for her to be here, blah, 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 blah. While Layla and Mickie James are talking, they showed Michelle McCool sneaking into Mickie James's dresser. The plot thickens. This is compelling television. They go to commercial, come back, and Natalia's in the ring. Mickie James comes out for an entrance. Kind of sucks that Natalia doesn't get the music and everything because, she's one of those female wrestlers who can wrestle. And her in a match with Mickie James is pretty good. It's not great, but, the two do all right. They're both competent. It's just that the match itself wasn't really anything exciting. It wasn't booked to be anything, incredibly special or whatever. But, Michelle McCool and Layla come out to the ring in the middle of the match, and they've got a bunch of Mickey's clothing that Michelle McCool had stolen out of the dresser, and Michelle McCool grabs Mickey's bra and starts cutting it up with scissors, and Mickie James is like, what the heck? And Natalia rolls her up, rolls her back and throws her into the sharpshooter, and Mickie James ends up tapping out. So Mickie James loses to Natalia because Michelle McCool is cutting up her bra at ringside. Yeah, great stuff. Let's see here. They had Josh Matthews introducing John Morrison as the IC champion. Morrison said that he was nervous. He had butterflies in his stomach. He said anyone would be nervous about a match tonight. He said he can handle it, though, unlike Dolph Ziggler, who he's nervous, but he always makes mistakes. It was not a good promo, I can tell you that much. It just seemed very wooden. We talk a lot about how some guys, they're scripted promos. They take the script and they kind of do the best they can, and it comes off sounding all right. And there are other guys who have scripted promos, and you listen to them, and it sounds like, if you've ever seen UHF, there's the part where they're doing Spatula City, and there's the guy, I love the spatula so much, I bought the company. That type of thing. And that's exactly what this was like. It's like, I'm nervous. Just like anybody would be. But I can handle it. I don't know. He did a promo a couple months back where they had him smile the whole time. After he said every line, he smiled at the camera. And it was supposed to come off as like he's just naturally happy, but it came across as, I'm saying my line, smile. I'm saying my line, smile. John Morrison just, to me, when he was the heel, when he was part of Eminem, it worked somehow for him. I think he's naturally a nice guy, and I think he's naturally kind of shy. And so you make him a heel, and he knows he has to be a bad guy, so he can kind of throw out his inhibitions and just say, okay, now I'm going to be bad. Now I'm going to do this hard, mean stuff. I'm going to say this stuff that's going to, make everybody mad. But when he has to be a face and he has to be friendly, and then he starts to judge himself while he's saying it, because he doesn't believe in the character of himself as a good guy because he's too self-conscious, I think. And so it just comes across as really weak. They turned him face real quick in the span of like a night, moved him to SmackDown, and suddenly he was a face. And it doesn't work for him. He didn't grow into it, and so he just doesn't know how to do it, and these promos just, they sound pretty terrible. All right, next matchup. They had Drew McIntyre and Fit Finlay. They showed a recap of 2 weeks ago when Drew McIntyre attacked Finlay, and Drew cuts a promo, basically says he didn't let Finlay in the ring because Finlay was not worthy. He's still not worthy, but Drew McIntyre says he's had a change of heart, and Finlay says he loves the fights. We'll see how much he loves the fight when he fights me. So, out comes Finlay, and the two of them they start doing these goofy kind of, you know, like British punches. I don't know what to call it. But anyway, they go to the outside, and Drew hits a clothesline on Finley, throws him back inside, and Finley just unloads on McIntyre. Just punch, 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 throws Drew outside of the ring. Drew gets back in the ring and starts attacking Finley, and they both start punching, and they're just punch, 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 and the ref is just sitting there like, you know, break it up, you know, no hard punches. They always do that thing where they, you know, punch their hand, knock it off, you know, no punches, come on. And, you know, the guys are just punch, 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 and the referee just calls the match, and just, you know, match is over. Just, you know, just no contest, no result. I don't know what you want to call it, but so Finley had Drew McIntyre down, and he grabs his shillelagh, but McIntyre gets up and hits him with the big boot, and so Drew McIntyre grabs the shillelagh and starts beating Finley in the head with it. So he leaves, his music plays, and he kind of stands there and he thinks for a minute, and he goes back down to the ring and he picks up the shillelagh and he starts attacking Finley in the midsection. So then McIntyre leaves, and Finley's still laying in the ring, and they send out a bunch of referees and trainers, and I don't know. Every time I see a spot like this, I always think of the WWE has that "Don't Try This at Home" video. It's like on every single one of the DVDs they put out. There's always this one spot where you hear Michael Cole going, "Referees, trainers, EMTs, down," and he says it so weird on there that it gets stuck in my head. So every time I see, like, the referees come running out. It's just like, referees, EMTs, trainers, down. Anyway. So they did that little bit, but Finley kind of, he stands up and he kind of staggers to the back with the trainers, and the crowd is, yay, because he got up. So nice, polite English crowd. Let's see. Go to commercial, come back. Matt Stryker in the ring. He's got a table and two chairs set up for the contract signing. I forgot that Stryker was still on SmackDown. It always kind of throws me for a loop. I expect JR to be there, but JR, of course, is still having some medical difficulties. He had another attack of Bell's palsy, and so he's just not on at the moment. There are questions of whether or not he's coming back. His contract is up for renewal at the end of the year, and everyone expected him to re-sign. But because of his health problems, JR may be done, which really sucks. But, I mean, I've got nothing against Matt Stryker. Don't get me wrong. I think Matt Stryker is a great, commentator. I think he does a really good job, but, listening to, Todd Grisham and Matt Stryker call the show, it just sounds like ECW, you know? But regardless, Matt Stryker in the ring, he had the table and chair set up. There's a contract. Ray comes out and, Dave comes out. They just say, basically, we want to get this over with. They just sign it. Dave goes, I've got a second contract here, Ray, and you need to sign it because this says that I will not be held legally accountable for what I do to you at Survivor Series. And Ray just says he's not going to sign it, and Dave calls him a coward and says he's hiding behind the mask, and he says if Ray doesn't sign, he's going to snap his little neck right here. And Ray signs it, but then he goes, you know, I know you're just trying to bully me. I know you're trying to intimidate me. You know, the only thing is that you don't understand what I'm capable of, and you're going to be embarrassed by me at Survivor Series. And as he says that, he flips the table over onto Dave, and Batista flips backwards into his chair. And as Dave is trying to, you know, catch himself in the chair and keep from falling over, Ray Mysterio just kind of, you know, calmly walks past him and goes up the ramp. And amazingly enough, this segment, it never slowed down. It never bogged down. You know, usually these contract signings, it's like they start to do something and somebody stops to give some long speech, some giant soliloquy about, you know, fear and whatever and blah, 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 blah. But this came across much more energetic than that, which I was actually pretty happy for, because usually I don't like these segments a whole lot. But no, this one came across okay. And so... you know, nice little segment there. I think it came across all right. They did, yet again, John Morrison versus Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental title. And, you know, again, like I said, I like Dolph Ziggler. I think John Morrison's a good wrestler. But if they're going to do something with this feud, I hope I hope that they just do it soon and get it over with. I'm tired of seeing these guys wrestle again and again and again and again, and it never goes anywhere, and nothing ever happens. I'm just kind of sick of it. Having said that, though, this was a pretty good little match until the ending. It ended in a countout, double countout. But until the double countout, I thought they had a pretty good match. They did a lot of good stuff back and forth, a lot of energy. They had Ziggler working on Morrison's ribs a lot, doing submissions, trying to break him down. They did the boo and yeah cheering spot with the crowd as they were trading punches, where, you know, Ziggler would punch, the crowd goes boo, and Morrison punches, and the crowd goes yay, and boo, yay, boo, yay, boo, yay, boo, yay, and kind of went back and forth. So you know, it had its moments. It was fun. The crowd was into it, you know, which is nice. I guess the English crowd likes to see their version of the match that the rest of the world has been seeing ad infinitum for the last 2 months. But basically, Dolph Ziggler rolled out of the way on a Starship Pain, grabbed Morrison, and tried to cover him, but was using the ropes, and the referee caught it, so he broke up the pin. And so Morrison goes for the springboard kick and hits Ziggler. They both battle on the ropes, then they fall to the ring outside. They hit the barricade, and the referee counts a 10. So I guess they're trying to show us that Dolph Ziggler's getting better. And so instead of straight up losing, now he's good enough that neither one of them can gain the advantage, I'm guessing. So I guess maybe next week on SmackDown, it'll be some sort of non-title match, and Ziggler will win going in the pay-per-view, maybe. Maybe it'll be a tag match, and Ziggler will get the pin on Morrison, so that you know going into the pay-per-view that he now has the ability to beat him. The question is just to what end. If they're setting all of this up so they can go to the pay-per-view and have Morrison beat him clean again, that's really going to kind of piss me off, because why do we keep watching all these matches if they're never going to go anywhere and they're never going to do anything? Again, I would love to see Ziggler win. I would love to see Ziggler as the champion he was supposed to have been 3 months ago, before Rey Mysterio threw his hissy fit and then ended up getting suspended anyway. You know, I mean, I love Rey, don't get me wrong. I actually got to wear one of his wrestling masks this week, one of his SmackDown 10th anniversary masks. Maybe I'll throw that picture up on the message board if you guys want to see it. But, you know, it's just, I think the guy's great, you know, most of the time. But him screwing over Morrison because he wanted to keep onto that IC title just really kind of sucks, and it just kind of threw this whole mid-card feud in SmackDown just into a tailspin that has yet to get out of. They did Beth Phoenix doing another squash match on some random chick. This time her name was Lisa Taylor. I believe she was actually a British, they did a squash match with Sheamus on Raw, and that guy is actually one of the guards for the Queen of some kind. I mean, granted, you know, the Queen probably has like a couple hundred people who are considered her guards at different times and whatever, but he's, you know, they actually used a local guy on Raw, so I'm guessing this is a local girl that they used on SmackDown. And but I mean, you know, it was a squash match, and, you know, Beth basically just beat the crap out of her and put her in a tree of woe and then grabbed her out of it and hit the glam slam and got the win. And I love it. I love these. I want more squash matches. I mean, what does that tell you? It's like, here's this IC title match. The match was pretty good, although, you know, it ended in a bad finish and whatever. Oh, but here's a squash match, and I loved it. Backstage, they had Josh Matthews talking to Chris Jericho, and he said, you know, are you concerned about wrestling The Undertaker? You've never wrestled him before. And Jericho says, you know, he's not a dead man. He's flesh and blood like everyone else. He can be beaten. You know, he has all these special effects. He doesn't really have any powers, and I'm going to beat him tonight. And neither a dead man nor a giant will stop him at Survivor Series. And, I mean, I guess Jericho is facing Undertaker in a three-way at the pay-per-view. they're pushing for the possibility of Jericho and Undertaker now as the SmackDown match at WrestleMania. Whether or not it's for the title, I don't know, but you know, they're pushing for Undertaker and Jericho at WrestleMania, which would be great. But to have, when they suddenly realize that these two guys have never had a singles match before, and they decide they're just going to do it on SmackDown, I couldn't help but wonder, why wouldn't you save the three-way match for the pay-per-view? You know, you got a Big Show and Undertaker wrestle a match here, I guess, if you wanted to. Why not? You have them do the three-way match, and then you have them do mixed tag matches and, you know, whatever else, leading up to Jericho versus Undertaker one-on-one at the next pay-per-view. You know, to me, that seems like a much better way to sell a pay-per-view. If they said, you know, this pay-per-view is going to be the first time Jericho and Undertaker have ever had a singles match one-on-one in the history of their careers, and you can only see it by paying $39.95 on pay-per-view, I think you're going to have a lot of people buying the pay-per-view. I don't know what they're going to do for the December show. Are they going to be like, oh, well, for the second time ever in their history, 3 weeks after you saw it for free on SmackDown, you can buy this pay-per-view and see them. I mean, I don't even know that they're wrestling one-on-one again. I would assume so. Considering the storylines they're doing and where they're heading, it would seem to make sense. But just, I don't know. Throwing it away on TV just seems like a bad idea. Having said that, though, it was a pretty good match. It actually was. And, you know, basically, you know, Undertaker was in control. You know, Undertaker, he's bigger, he's stronger than Jericho, he's meaner, he's much harder to beat than Jericho. But the idea here was that Jericho has done his homework. Jericho knows what Undertaker's going to do. They've never wrestled. You know, usually you have two guys in there, former tag team partners or whatever, they wrestle, and the commentators are like, well, he knows every move. You know, he's been with them in the ring so many times, he knows exactly what he's going to try. And the idea here was that Jericho just, he watched the tapes. He did his homework. He is smart enough to figure out what's going on. So basically, you know, Undertaker would try to do something like, I don't know, like old school. He would grab Jericho and take him up for old school. And Jericho, even though he had been attacked and he was supposed to be out of it and whatever, he had enough presence of mind that he would hit an arm drag and pull Undertaker back into the ring. They would have, you know, Undertaker, grabbing him by the throat as if he's going for a choke slam, and Jericho knows well enough to, you know, punch him to break the hold, you know, punch him in the right spots, as opposed to most guys who, you know, they may flail their arms or whatever, like they're trying to run away. You know, it just kind of played out like that. It was a really good match. But basically the problem was that, Jericho, okay, Undertaker, he grabs him by the throat like he's going to go for a choke slam. Jericho turns it into a Walls of Jericho. Undertaker basically rolls over onto his back, grabs Jericho again by the throat, and Jericho goes as if he's turning again, going to reverse it into Walls of Jericho, but this time Taker isn't going for a choke slam, he's going for the Hell's Gate submission. And so that's the one thing that threw Jericho off, and so he taps out. So the Undertaker wins, and as soon as the music starts playing, Big Show comes out and starts walking down to the ring. And so Jericho attacks Undertaker, which allows Big Show to get in the ring behind him. He then grabs Undertaker, hits the choke slam, hits the leg drop. Jericho puts Undertaker in the Walls of Jericho, and Show puts on the camel clutch. So the two of them, as the tag team, even though it's going to be a triple threat, it's showing that the two of them can work together. And here they're working together to take out Undertaker. They probably, you know, if you're going to say they came up with some agreement, they understand that it's going to be much easier for them to face each other than face the Undertaker. And each other at the same time, so let's hurt Undertaker when the day comes. We'll, you know, beat the crap out of him at the pay-per-view, and then you and I will, you know, work things out, finish it off one-on-one, you know, whatever. So anyway, the two of them are doing that on Undertaker, and Kane's music hits. So as Kane's coming down the ring, Big Show powders out, and Jericho thinks he's still there. So when Kane comes in, Jericho is expecting backup from Big Show, and when he realizes Big Show isn't there, Kane hits him with the big boot. Jericho rolls out of the ring, and basically Kane, I guess, is now friends with Undertaker. Like, he's a good guy, and he's there with his brother. I guess. So they show Vince McMahon backstage, and he gets on the phone and he calls Teddy Long, who apparently doesn't have a passport and can't go to England, and they can't book far enough ahead to film any backstage segments. So he says, Vince tells Teddy Long that next week it's going to be the Brothers of Destruction against the Unified Tag Team Champions. He said something about Teddy Long being sick, and he better not have swine flu or rabies. And then he reminded him he's still on probation. And so they cut back to the ring, and you had Kane and Undertaker in the ring. Now, I understand that Undertaker said he loves wrestling his brother, and he loves wrestling against his brother, and Jericho has taken that away from him by beating Kane in the number one contender match, so that's part of his motivation for beating up Jericho at Survivor Series. Fine. But now suddenly, because Kane and Undertaker can't fight each other, now they're friends and they're going to work together? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Kane and Jericho were the heel co-captains of the SmackDown team at Bragging Rights. So Kane is still heel. So, like, am I overthinking this? Am I missing something? Like, was there an angle on Raw I missed? Was there something that happened on Superstars that I didn't see? Or is this just WWE pulling a page out of TNA's playbook and giving you the final part of the story without giving you the middle section? You know, we had part one, we didn't get part two, suddenly we're at part three. I don't know. If any of you know out there, then please let me know and help me to figure out what exactly is going on. But anyway, all right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for today. I want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast. You know, as you know, we've been doing some recruitment here for VG Losers and for that new toy smell. You know, we're working on doing some site expansion and some redesigns and whatnot. And one of the things we're going to be doing here is sports and wrestling are going to be kind of broken off. We're going to have our own website for this stuff. And so stuff like the Weigh-In MMA podcast, the Fantasy Football podcast, they're going to be part of the new site. And we've got a new guy. He's actually an old guy coming back. Goes by the name of Political Agenda. It's actually our friend Jerry McCaffrey, wrestles as Guy Smith. He's been an independent wrestler for a long time. He's done training with Harley Race in the Harley Race School. He actually did training down with Ted DiBiase Jr. He, of course, is a big wrestling fan. So he's going to do some written reports for us, pay-per-view rundowns, show rundowns, you know, whatever. And we're probably going to pull him on for a podcast as often as we can, which is hard to say. Probably Monday Night Raw podcasts are going to be a lot easier because we can just get together at night. It's going to be harder to get together in the morning to sit down and watch SmackDown together. But anyway, look forward to hearing from him. And I look forward to expanding the site and getting more wrestling content out there. And I hope you guys will be as gracious with him as you are with me. As always, you can stop by our forum if you want to ask any questions, leave any comments. WrestleMania recaps, WrestleMania 13 and WrestleMania 7, or not 17, WrestleMania 13 and, oh gosh, there was something else. Someone else had a request on, and now I've forgotten what it was. But yeah, they're out there. We're going to get to those probably sometime around Christmas. I think the week between Christmas and New Year's. I know a lot of people are going to be on vacation. A lot of people are off work. They're out of school, whatever. So that week, we're probably going to put out a bunch of podcasts looking at that kind of stuff. Maybe look at some of the old ECW tapes, look at some of the WCW pay-per-views and whatnot. But we're going to try to put out some podcasts and stuff during that time. So that's something to look forward to while you're on vacation. You got nothing else to do. So you might as well listen to some podcasts, right? All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, we'll be back on Tuesday. Talk about Monday Night Raw. And we'll talk to you guys later.
More
action. See ya.
More excitement. More everything. More everything. More everything.
It's not Muhammad Ali. It's not a baseball team, but me. Talk about the American dream. I have run it down with kings and queens.
I am humbled by you all.
All the fat ones, all the skinny ones.
I am humbled by you all.
You name them, I kicked their ass.
So tonight I'm gonna make your back crack. So tonight I'm gonna make your liver quiver. So tonight I'm gonna make your knees freeze down. If you don't dig this mess, hell, you're in the wrong address.
It's not Muhammad Ali. It's not a baseball team, but me. Talk about the American dream. I have run it down with kings and queens.
So tonight I'm going to make your back crack. So tonight I'm going to make your feather quiver. So tonight I'm going to make your knees freeze down. If you don't dig this mess, hell, you're in the wrong address.